The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
Welcome to The Shepherd at Work, a weekly program to help you learn how to live your Christian faith in every place you work and live. Host Mark Goldstein introduces you to individuals who are successfully and effectively engaging in marketplace ministry and gives you the tools you need to do the same. The Shepherd at Work is sponsored by the U.S. Christian Chamber of Commerce, building kingdom, business, and community. Now, here's your host, Mark Goldstein.
And welcome back to this week's edition to The Shepherd at Work. This is Mark Goldstein, and as promised, in the studio today is my dear friend John Thurman, a former president of Westbrook and now on staff at IOA. But John, we were talking last week when you were at Westbrook, and that's when we met. We met because you had done an upfront contract with me. It was a 30-10 upfront contract that you do with any vendor who's coming in. And I was coming in to sell your radio advertising. So share with us again, what is the 30-10 upfront contract?
Yeah, real simple, Mark. The idea behind that was to invite anyone in to meet with me, to listen for 30 minutes with the understanding that I get 10 minutes of theirs. And the premise behind the 10 minutes was simply to invite them into a understanding of how I found my way to Westbrook, which was a transition point in my life where I shifted from what you would might think of as the corporate arena into more of a privately held company down on OBT. It was essentially about a three-year discovery process where I stayed in my existing role in the corporate world. But my idea or thought was if I could discover my life purpose and marry it with my gifts and talents, live it out in the context of the marketplace, I might know a measure of fulfillment and significance back then was the thought beyond my wildest imagination, right? And ultimately, the Lord, after that 3 years, kind of distilled this very wide funnel of possibility into a very specific calling, which I call the ministry of availability, something of which I've been doing now for about 23 years.
And we are actually going to talk about this in this segment. I was actually a recipient of the 30-10, and much like you talked in last week's show about Heath Rittenour, 20 minutes in, he knew it wasn't about selling insurance. I knew 20 minutes in, it wasn't about selling air. And my 10 minutes ended up turning into a long, I forget how long it was, but I think I could have packed a lunch. But you shared with me the ministry of availability, and it rocked my world. And you introduced me to a book by Mike Mason called Practicing the Presence of People. So tell our audience, what is the ministry of availability?
Yeah, well, real quick, Mark, just by way of reminder, that 10 minutes is still going because we're here
That's true, right? That's very true.
It's pretty amazing, right? When you think about it, right?
Yes.
When you think about how the Lord will take just a little seed like that and use it over years and many, many years, right? So the ministry of availability, right? It's an interesting ministry, marketplace ministry, which is really aimed at five things. So I basically try to help people, if you will, put the puzzle pieces of life together, kind of fill in the blanks of life, help them navigate life out the front window, you know, help them in a sense see around the corner and just simply put, get from here to there. What I've learned over time is that many folks, men in particular, find themselves stuck where they are, largely because they're identifying who they are in the context of what they do versus living out who they are in the context of where they find themselves or where the Lord puts them. So it's really simple, Mark. It's very simply put, leaving time in my schedule to be available for folks. It's showing up with no agenda, if you will. And it's basically helping folks unlock the potential, perhaps undiscovered potential in their lives. The key to it, though, is showing up with no agenda. You know, I had occasion maybe about 15 years ago, was having lunch with a man here in town. And while who I meet with has nothing to do with position, where they're at, this guy happened to be the CEO of a very large company. And 45 minutes into our lunch conversation, he told me, he said, "John, it's just occurred to me, you're the first man I've had lunch with in 10 years that didn't want something from me."
That is amazing. Actually, I remember a time we met, I think it was called the Sheridan Maitland, perhaps. And I just called you. I said, "John, I'm dealing with some stuff. Could you meet with me?" And you just did. There was no agenda. And you sat there and just listened as I talked and then asked some great questions.
Well, part of it is just trying to be, again, be available, listen, no agenda, and then offer, to your point, offer a measure of perspective, you know, perhaps. One thing I've learned, Mark, over the years, that for the longest time, I felt the pressure to be the answer man. Mm. But what I realized over the last 10, 15 years, that the transition point for many folks in life is to become the question man. Mm. And in that is becoming pretty, just begin to ask questions of folks and help them in large measure discover what they already knew by asking them the right questions. The difference is when they discover the answer they perhaps already knew, they own the answer, and then life change has the real plausibility of occurring. So the notion of making that transition from answer man to question man was a pivotal time in my life, and that's in large measure what the availability is all about. It's just, you know, being there and asking questions and help folks sort through an understanding of perhaps what they're dealing with, perhaps looking out the front window of what life might be like in the future, that type of thing.
So as a business owner, you have a daily schedule and you have appointments here or there. Do you then proactively just block out time and just saying, "Lord, if you have somebody to bring them now," or how does that play out?
So for me, I leave flexibility in my schedule, but I have to tell you, I'd be remiss, Mark, if I didn't tell you that what's made it work for me is I've now had two men in my life that have bought into the vision the Lord gave me for my life. One being Owen Matthews, whom I mentioned, and the second being Heath Rittenour, who give me the freedom to actually be available and to weave that into the context of what I do, right? And now the cool thing about it is I equally have an availability inside of IOA. I spend a lot of time coaching folks there, and also have the opportunity to leverage that availability in the marketplace. So, but it certainly helps being given the freedom to do that and having folks actually come alongside you in support of that vision.
You know, IOA is super fortunate because I know companies pay dear to have chaplain organizations. You know, they hire corporate chaplains to come in. IOA has corporate chaplain right there in you.
Well, yeah, I don't know that I necessarily think of myself that way, but I will say that, the idea of showing up to meet the need of the person in front of me, and in particular, I mentioned this a little bit earlier, right? And oftentimes I will speak through the lens of timeless truth, right? And that might be somewhat synonymous with what we might think of as scripture, but nonetheless, it's timeless truth. And when you begin to help people see life contextually through timeless truth, while they may not necessarily have a orientation towards scripture, the truth still stands. Mm. And the context underpinned by the truth still begins to bring like brilliance, just like the setting on a diamond brings brilliance to the diamond, you know, context and truth brings brilliance to the story or the situation at hand.
So with the time we have left, you did something very amazing at Westbrook several years ago. There was a downturn in the economy. A lot of CEOs and C-level people were being let go. At the same time, Westbrook had bought another building and you had cleared out your second floor.
Correct.
and you decided to do something. So take it from there and share with us what happened.
Yeah, sure. That was a fun time, right? That was in the 2007-2008 financial crisis. And we had this extra space, so we're sitting around looking at this space. And we decided, you know, we're going to set up MIT on OBT. And MIT simply stood for Men in Transition. And the idea behind that was we would provide a place for folks to come who had lost their jobs, if you will, who had been displaced, to come and gather one to another and be encouraged by one another. That as opposed to sitting at home in isolation, and where perhaps the enemy would begin to speak loudly into their the lies that are written on their heart and into their head. And it was a place of offense and defense for the folks to come and basically share amongst themselves, kind of like a support group, but at the same time, it proved to be a tremendous networking opportunity as well, where I look back and every person that came through that period of time ultimately found themselves in a new role, ultimately some of them in roles even greater than what they had left before.
And we'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back. And then I just want to prepare you now. I've heard you speak so many places, and you speak from the heart, and you touch people's lives. So we're going to come back, talk a little bit more about MIT on OBT. But then I just want to take a little time to have John Thurman unplugged, and just to have you speak to the audience and share from your heart the significance of Marketplace Ministry and how, again, what that would mean in their lives and in their business. So we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back with John Thurman. You're listening to The Shepherd at Work. This is Mark Goldstein and Mike Gillen. That's who you are, isn't it? Yeah, Mike Gillen in the studio. We'll be back in a second.
The U.S. Christian Business Expo and National Conference takes place on October 13th and 14th in beautiful Orlando, Florida. The theme for this year's event is God's Economy, Believers Doing Business in the Marketplace, and features internationally known speakers and authors who will share their expertise on the seven pillars of success, including Jason Noble, the real pastor from the powerful movie Breakthrough. You'll be inspired by the worship experience led by Christian recording artist Mac Powell, former lead singer of Third Day. There's also a Christian Business Expo that's open to the public, so you'll meet people who you'd want to do business with and who'd want to do business with you. For more event information on how to be an exhibitor or to purchase tickets, visit uschristianchamber.com. That's uschristianchamber.com.
Once again, here's Mark Goldstein.
And we're back with The Shepherd at Work and our guest today, John Thurman. John, before the break, we were talking about the Ministry of Availability and MIT on OBT. And we were talking on the break that really what you did was provide these people dignity, self-worth, or self-worth, who they were beyond the what they did.
Yeah, Mark, that's right. I think the key to it was actually giving them a safe place to be themselves, to be authentic, to be able to share perhaps the worries, the doubts, the fears, that the lies that were being, the arrows that were being shot at them, you know, they may have found themselves just alone in their thoughts. So giving them a place to think and pray and just share together was a huge, huge opportunity for the MIT on OBT.
And we also talked during the break, we're going to take the rest of this segment and do John Thurman Unplugged. I've known you for years. I know your heart, and I know how you touch people. And so I'd like to take a few minutes now and just, I'll ask this. What would you say today if you were talking to the 23-year-old who was trying to find his way many years ago?
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say This would be for the 23-year-old, the 33, the 43, the 53, and the 63 person, perhaps. Maybe with a 63-year-old has a little less window out the runway out the front window, but nonetheless, some of these truths prove to be the same, right? And one of the things I think back on my own life, I began to say, you know, what if you begin to consider your life through the continuum of time in the marketplace, that versus the career? What happens along the continuum is oftentimes, you know, along a career continuum, if you will, people will look at sometimes they've done 1 year 30 times over, right? And they wake up and they go, is this all there is, right? But if you begin to look at that continuum of time, you begin to see that each step and stop along the continuum is a building block. It's a building block that has an upward trajectory. It doesn't necessarily suggest that it's climbing a ladder. It's an aggregation of value that you bring to whatever endeavor that you engage with over time. Sometimes as folks look at a career, they oftentimes see it as stepping stones. And the challenge with stepping stones is it's a horizontal view, that as opposed to a vertical view. And ultimately, I think the trajectory or the horizontal trajectory can find its way kind of in a downward path, right? So that's one thing I would mention. Another would be where everyone is given a front row seat to engage the lives of others, right? And it's a blessing and it's a gift that we've been given. I would tell anyone that invite other people into your story. And as you invite them into your story, as you engage in that front row seat, people will see something of themselves in your story, no matter your age, no matter your story. And that's the point at which you actually begin to have a meaningful, substantive, perhaps a gateway into the heart of that other person, because you're now dealing with a very authentic type of conversation, right? Invite them into your story. I just believe it's a silver bullet of human nature that people will see something of themselves in your story. I would say the idea of life purpose, right? Life purpose, I've discovered over the last 23 years, doesn't have to be big to be profound. I know when I first wrote on a piece of paper, the Ministry of Availability, I thought to myself, oh my goodness, that seems too simple. Only to find out that over the years of just showing up with no agenda has proven to be one of the more confounding and profound types of things in my own life and the lives of others as they've encountered our times together, right? So life purpose doesn't have to be big to be profound. Another thought would be the currency of life, if you think about this, right? The currency of life is found in the context of relationships, right? And so as we invest and as others invest in us, the idea behind this is we're going to take that currency and we're going to compound the value of that currency by taking what's been given to us, which is essentially what I've found myself doing over the years. As others have poured into me, I'm pouring back into others, and the compounded effect of that is potentially generational, and it's most, in a big way, eternal, right? And along the way, you build an asset, a portfolio of assets that you actually can take with you, right? And that's a good thing. I think, too, this idea that a one-degree shift in our perspective holds the potential to radically change the trajectory of our lives. You know, I think about, what about the idea of being Columbus versus being creator? If God, in fact, has put forth a plan for our lives, then we get to discover the revelation of his will. We get to be Columbus, that as opposed to trying to create his will in our lives, right? And that takes a tremendous amount of pressure off as we engage faithfully every day to discover the very revelation of his will. So we get to be Columbus, we don't have to be God. We don't have to control the uncontrollable or make certain the uncertain, if that makes sense, right?
Sure.
Yeah. You know, the idea of finding your identity, I mentioned this a little bit earlier, in your who-ness and not your what-ness, right? Oftentimes, our identity is found in what we do, and what we do will ultimately let us down at times. So to the degree that we live out who we are in the context of what we do and where God puts us, it's a radical difference in terms of when we head home at the end of the day, we actually have much more fulfillment, I would suggest, in our lives in that regard. Another thing to bring to the table for folks would be looking, and this one's a little odd to think about, but it's looking at the future through the lens of regret. And one of the things that I've found is that one of the best things for me is, irrespective of my age, is to advance the film of my life some number of years and look back at that moment in time and deem, what would I deem to be regrettable for me if I didn't do it in the next X number of years, right?
Yeah.
So you're looking at regret through the lens of the future. And it's tremendously valuable because it's one of those things that will always keep you current with the very things that you aspire to do and to be in the context of who God's made you to be, right? So oftentimes we only find ourselves at the point of regret, never having thought in advance, looking at that through the future, right? So that's something to think about. And maybe one other thing is just this notion that one of the things that I found to be particularly helpful for me in years past was to come up with a title for my life and let that title be the lens through which that would inform and the lens through which I would do and view my life. And rather than ask myself, what do I do for a living, see the power of removing one simple one-letter word and ask myself, what do I do for living? And in the context of that, have a title for your life through which you begin to filter all things that you do over time and impact occurs.
And what is the title for your life?
Well, for me, I'm a treasure hunter, right? And some people look at that and say, oh my goodness, so you basically, you're about boats and water and garbage and soot and all of this kind of stuff and gold. I said, well, you've got part of it right. Gold, yes. But just from a metaphor standpoint, just as the treasure hunter will look past the soot and the garbage to find the gold, I'm really less interested in where you've been or what you've done, but I'm keenly interested in who you can become, and particularly helping you find the gold that's within you, and even more so helping you learn and discover from where that gold originates
as a
child of the King.
That is profound. So, John, what have you found yourself most recently doing as you've engaged with individuals with the Ministry of Availability?
Yeah, it's interesting, Mark. I found myself basically being able to take now 23 years of learning and observation and introspection of my own application and kind of distilling it down into a bit of a process where I've begun to help folks, if you will, map out a picture of a preferred future that in essence is designed to help them give a vision for the life, for their life, that's greater than themselves, that's oriented around and underpinned with purpose, right? And in doing that, I found two questions that ultimately play a key role in discovering that. And one question is, what does holistic success look like? And the operative word there is holistic, right? And then we begin to break that down in a granular fashion with the first element of that question being timeline. So let's look within the next period of time, what does holistic success look like? Most folks get stuck or paralyzed by the fact they're trying to solve for the rest of their life. That as opposed to, I know for me, I found it to be very advantageous to break life down in segments. So we look at that question through the lens of timeline. Then we look at life-work balance. We might look at influence, impact, purpose, environment, relationships, community, family, health, all of those types of things. And then we hearken back to the other side of the coin, which is a question that I brought up a little bit ago, which was, so what's missing? And then, as noted, it's so oftentimes easier for people to identify what's missing as opposed to really trying to identify what they're longing for. So we just work it through that and build a set of filters from which they know when their yeses should be no's and their no's should be yeses.
What I'm longing for is an extra half hour, and we don't have it. So we are up against the clock. John, thank you so much for coming in again. For John Thurman, Mike Gillen, this is Mark Goldstein. Thank you for joining us, and be a shepherd at work.
You've been listening to The Shepherd at Work. Tune in next week as Mark will introduce you to another marketplace leader who will show you how to live your Christian faith in every place you work and live. The Shepherd at Work, sponsored by the U.S. Christian Chamber of Commerce, building kingdom, business, and community.
The preceding was a Mark Radio production.